T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
EGO. Give online therapy a try at betterhelp.com and get on your way to being your best self.
Hey, it's Gresh, and when researching any product or service, we want to know what other customers had to say about it. Were they happy? Did they receive the results promised? It's important. Let's say you're searching weight loss programs. I'm sure you'd be satisfied with a company that had a 75 or 80 because, well, it's weight loss. Anything higher than 80% would be a shocker. How about Awaken 180 score 98? Their clients received the results they were looking for. Easy, fast, but most importantly, sustainable weight loss. And we're not talking 10 or 20 people.
Baby,
Sports Radio WEEI, Christian Arkin, Megan Ottolini. We're here until 6 o'clock. We'll be joined later this hour by Andrew Raycroft. We'll get the Razor's take on the Bruins, who just keep on winning. David Krejci calling out coaches. We got the trade deadline coming up. All that stuff. We'll get to all that later on in the hour. In the meantime, we're going to touch on Gerard Mayo here and the interviews that he canceled, what his market's like. Maybe we may have misread that a little bit, but a little bit of meat in the bone here on this offensive coordinator thing. People are, I can't believe you're comparing Staley and Bill Belichick. Belichick's won all these championships. You can say that about any other coach in the league.
Is that what I sound like to you?
That is,
it sounds very manly.
It's what everyone sounds like to me. But you can do that. You can say that about Bill and every single other coach in the entire NFL. That doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
It's kind of the point, though.
Is it?
Yeah, the point
I don't think
is that
should
sets
matter anymore.
The standard. Yeah, you act like
you set the standard when you win Super Bowls,
okay, you act
not
like
when you miss
won
the
his
playoffs.
Last, you act like he won his last Super Bowl in 2009.
No. He won his last Super Bowl in 2018.
Yeah. And it wasn't so long ago.
What's happened since then?
Crap.
Yeah.
Like a lot of crap.
That's sort of what I'm getting at here. I mean, you can sort of coast off of that for a long time, and a lot of coaches have coasted off of Super Bowl championships. Sometimes you don't get to coast that long. Like Doug Peterson, you know? Like sometimes you win a championship and you're out the next year. But with Bill Belichick, yes, of course. He's earned all of the rewards and everything. Fine. But I don't know about just blindly giving him the benefit of the doubt when he screws up over and over again and just saying, well, he's Bill Belichick.
Arkan, I'm not blindly giving it to him. I'm just saying that. Don't isolate that. I'm just saying that it seems like...
You had to say that like four times.
I know. Jeez. It just...
I think it says more about what she thinks of me than anything that she's actually saying. But please continue.
It just feels like the comparison between someone like Staley... Like Captain Go For It, who has one of the hottest young quarterbacks in the entire league,
sure,
and can't figure out how to win a playoff game with him, and like, and comparing that to Belichick and saying this is the same situation, it's really not.
How disciplined were Belichick's teams been the last couple of years?
The last 2 years, it's been bad.
It's been horrific. It's been really bad. If it wasn't Bill Belichick, people would say, who's coaching this team?
This year was much worse than 2021.
I agree.
I have to feel like this is rock bottom. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend Belichick's coaching this season because it's really bad. And I came on here week in and week out and said the middle management is suffering under this.
Mm-hmm.
He did not do a good job managing the coaches he put in place. It's not just about appointing those coaches, which is the first massive mistake. It's about the week in, week out failure to adjust in a way that would lead to any kind of success.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I totally agree with that. However, to sit here and say it's been two really bad years of undisciplined teams, and you made it to the playoffs last year, and it's the greatest coach in NFL history, and you're going to kick him out of town over that? I just can't. I'm just not going to be on that side of that discussion.
He would have kicked himself out. That's mm-hmm. the type of thing that Bill Belichick looks at if it's a player who's taking a step back.
And that's
like that.
Not always the right choice.
Not
Look,
always.
He pushed Brady out the door too early.
Which
he
was
tried
another
to push
bad
Gronk
decision
out
of his.
The door too early to Detroit. Like,
yeah.
I'm not acting like everything he does is the right move. I'm just saying to essentially put him on the hot seat and put him in the same category that people put Brandon Staley is like four steps too far for me.
Okay.
If we have another season like this one, maybe I'll start to say, you know what? I just feel like he's not the same guy anymore.
So Brady pushes Brady out the door. He signs Cam Newton instead of having an actual backup plan. Like
yeah,
these are the first two, right? Like that. So that was the big one. Obviously, was Brady. The next one was not having a backup plan and just thinking
I
can sign anybody.
Put those hand in hand
and bringing Cam Newton in. And then after that, I think he started to reset the course a little bit. Right? You make a draft pick. It looks like the offense is starting.
Well,
to
even
kick
before
back
that,
up.
You load up in free agency
and you do that too, and that all sort of happens at the same time. And then you have a better season, kind of a fraudulent playoff appearance, but whatever, you made it, fine. And then this year, it was his decisions that led to almost everything that went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, it was his decisions that led to everything that went wrong. And it's
I
not, you're right.
I would say Trent Brown had a heavy hand in it.
Maybe,
well.
But
and
who brought
Isaiah
Trent Brown back
too.
Instead of spending money on a real tackle and not just some guy who played here a while
right.
ago?
Right, and look,
and
I don't
you
disagree.
Could get cheap,
like. I don't disagree, Arcan. Like, we're on the same page there. It all goes back to Bill. He told us that himself. I agree with that. I've sat here week in, week out saying that. And especially the damage that you've done and the frayed relationship behind closed doors with Mac Jones and it sounds like the offensive coaches.
This is Belichick's fault.
That the coaches are maybe out there trying to leak information about how it wasn't so bad for Mac here. Mac's not so tough. You have
right.
listeners calling in questioning Mac's mental toughness. That's all extremely screwed up. Still not going to sit here and say he should be treated like people want Brandon Staley to be treated.
Okay,
like
but,
he's a laughingstock.
But Brandon Staley, nothing's happening to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like Brandon Staley's keeping his job, I think.
But
and
you're
they're
saying
firing
people are,
all the offensive
people are
coordinators.
Calling for Brandon Staley's head. Why aren't they calling for Belichick's head? And I feel like that's just
I'm
saying silly.
It's assigning the blame
mm-hmm.
where it should be assigned. The blame is not being assigned to
Staley. You can assign the blame without saying, I think that you should chop his head off this offseason.
So what do you do? How do you make him accountable?
I think what they're doing
Hire
right
more
now,
of his friends, which is what they're going to do?
It sounds like upper management coming out and saying publicly in statements, bizarrely unprecedented statements, saying, this is what we want. This is what we intend. There's going to be an offensive coordinator. It's not going to be coordinator by committee. It's not just going to be two of your pals joining together and trying to do something they never done before. You're going to bring in real candidates to interview, and hopefully you land O'Brien. And if it's not O'Brien, it's going to be some young hotshot who brings in his own offensive system, and you let him appoint his own assistant coaches, and you run
you're
this.
Filling in a lot of things that
I'm
weren't
set,
in that press
you're,
release.
Okay,
you're excited?
Arcan, you're asking me how I would
how you would do it. Sure, yeah. Okay.
How I would see it handled as fit mm-hmm. for the response of what happened this year. That's how I see it as fit. Not hey, you know what? Get out of here. Go get Shula's record somewhere else. And by the way, it's just not realistic that they're going to do that.
I don't think that that's
after this.
Realistically going to happen either. But I do think the Patriots fans and anybody who's really going after Staley and saying, oh, they should have fired Staley and not those other guys. Well, okay, they're reassigning these offensive people here and not really blaming the person whose fault it really was, is, I guess, the point I'm trying to make here. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Gerard Mayo canceled a job interview with the Carolina Panthers. He did not turn down a job, but he did cancel the interview. He canceled his Cleveland coordinator interview, and as far as we know, is in line to be something here in New England, something more than he was prior to this. I'm starting to wonder, though, Megan, did we maybe misread the Gerard Mayo market? Because I was thinking that there was going to be a lot of teams out there that would want to interview him for head coaching jobs, for coordinator jobs. So far, it's been one for each. And he was sort of cavalier about dismissing both of those interviews. He hasn't been offered a job. Did maybe Patriots fans and, you know, people around here sort of overrate how much the Gerard Mayo would be, there'd be a market for him out in the NFL?
How's he going to be offered a job if he's not going to the interviews? He canceled both the interviews. So I think if you look at the way that the market is right now, some of these teams are still playing. Obviously, the ones that are out are the ones that are making coaching changes because
yeah.
it didn't go the way they wanted to get them into the playoffs. But I would say he got two interview offers within the first week, within really the first 4 or 5 days of them being out of the playoffs. And this was a situation where seemingly, once again, quote, upper management of the Patriots wanted to nip this in the bud.
Yeah.
So they put this statement out there. They meet with him behind closed doors. They're trying to give him some kind of sweetheart offer, whatever you think that might be, you know, assistant head coach or whatever, to keep him here and keep him in their long-term plans. So I'm not sure it's a that the market isn't there for him. I think it's more that the Patriots are trying to be incredibly proactive in keeping him here and not doing a repeat of, oh my God, Josh McDaniels is on the plane. Call him and, you know, give him whatever he wants. Like, I think that that's kind of where they're at. I don't think it's indicative that he's not a hot commodity.
Maybe, and maybe you're right, but is this what he wanted? Did Gerard Mayo just want to be the assistant head coach and that's sort of what he wanted here in New England and he can cancel everything else because that's what he really wanted all this time? That just seems sort of like a weird thing to want to be, right? Like, you could be a defensive coordinator. You could be a head coach somewhere else. You could at least go in and take the interviews. Now, I understand he bailed on the interviews. If there was a team out there that really wanted him to be the head coach, then they would have already made that clear to his agent. I think that these interviews were probably just, all right, we got some people in mind, but we're going to interview you too.
And unfortunately, you have to think about the Rooney Rule right. aspect of it, that, yeah. you know, because of that, that shouldn't come into play in terms of, you know, he is completely a great prospect to be a head coach. It does, you know, that side doesn't really matter, but it is the reality of the way that the coaching carousel operates right now. And for Gerard Mayo, like, I don't think it's that bizarre. People always talk about if you get a chance to be a head coach, you have to take the chance because you don't know when it's going to come back around.
Right.
But for someone like him, who I think he knows his worth and he has a lot of self-worth without getting too, like, woo-woo over here, I think he feels like he wants to be in the right situation. And are you really dying to be in that Panthers job? You know, like, are you dying to go be a defensive coordinator for the Browns? I mean, it's not a great franchise over there.
No, it's
I'm not even talking about in terms of football wins. I'm talking about the ownership is so, you know, it's just a bunch of clowns. And then I also think that once the Patriots, you know, once the Crafts kind of, you know, put their flag down, I'm not sure how many other owners want to go against Robert and Jonathan and piss them off by trying to snatch him away when they're planting their flag saying this is our guy. And by the way, we put out a statement.
Well, any team that's scared of them and won't hire a coach because they're scared of the Crafts, then sell your team and get out of here.
Powerful, powerful owner.
All right. Well, then,
horrible.
I mean, that's pretty soft. I'm sorry. Like, if that's what you're worried about, oh, I don't want to upset the Crafts who make him the assistant head coach and we want to make him our head coach, so we're going to back off. Like, sell the team then.
Well, Mr. Kraft has everything going.
You're talking about this like it's just they're holding on to an assistant head coach. They put in that statement, and you pointed this out to me the other day, and I've been thinking about it over the weekend. Long term, like, that speaks volumes to me. So if they think that this is potentially Bill's successor, that it's a strong chance that this is Bill's successor, I think they're going to try to make it loud and clear, like, you know, hands off our guy.
Yeah, and that's one way to get Gerard Mayo to cancel a bunch of interviews, wouldn't it? You know, well, you'll be the assistant, and then when Bill's done, it's your job, and you'll have it, and we promise you that, right?
Which will get super interesting if Bill O'Brien is the offensive coordinator who comes here.
Yeah, absolutely. Preemptive strike there by the New England Patriots, and so far, it appears to be working. 617-779-7937, there's your phone number. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Bruins. David Krejci with a lot to say after a big Bruins win yesterday, and how about that? Maybe coaching matters in the NHL, too. We'll get to all of that right after trending.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I like
mentality of this team to stay in the moment, take it game by game. Practice has been good. Obviously, the coaching changed help a lot.
Sports Radio WEEI, that was David Krejci. After another Bruins win, this time 6-0 over the Flyers, a game that was not close. The most entertaining part of it was John Tortorella behind the bench, losing his crap. Local guy, by the way, Torts, Carlisle, right?
I believe he's a Carlisle guy.
Carlisle fella?
Carlisle guy.
You know what's funny? Even if you're from Carlisle, or if you're from Connecticut, or, you know, anywhere in New England,
yeah,
they all get a Canadian accent. For some reason, no matter where you're from, they end up coaching in hockey. They're around these guys all the time, and then they just start talking like that. It just happens. It just creeps into their vocabulary.
The only time that really happens to me is like if I've been drinking. Does this ever happen to you? And you talk to somebody with like a crazy accent?
And then you try and
especially a British person.
It?
No, you just find yourself starting to mimic it. That's never happened to you? And then it sounds like you're mocking them. And it's awful.
I mean, it sounds like you are marketing. Yeah.
I was at summer camp, and one of my buddies was from Dallas, and he spoke with a twang. And I realized as the more I was hanging out with him, I started to develop this slight little southern twang as well. So maybe there is something to that. You're just in the hockey world all the time, and you just start to sound like a hockey
player.
You're
just like, hey, you know.
I don't know. Pasta doesn't talk like that.
Six goals out there. Yeah, that's true. You have to be from this country. Like, you have to be from the
North America.
From an American part of it. You can't be from, like, you know, across the pond, then it's totally different. Yeah, sorry, no. Doesn't affect him.
He sounds just like the boys.
Certainly not in the same way. David Pastrnak, though, a pair of goals in this game. Pavel Zacha had two goals, including a laser beam. Did you see that one where you're falling down on the one-timer? It was beautiful.
I mean, there's just something about, I don't know if it's a Flyers thing. I thought Carter Hart was going to be their goaltender in the future, but I was looking at the splits when he faces the Bruins. It's easily one of the worst teams that Carter Hart has to go up against every single year. He's got like almost a 4-0 goal average against the Bruins right now. So I think that was predictable, if anything, but this team just doesn't want to lose, apparently.
I know. They really just don't. And Jeremy Swayman, a 29-save shutout, as the Bruins get three assists from David Krejci. And that was him who you just heard there in the rejoin talking about. Can we play it one more time? Can we just hear this? It's quick. He's just sort of talking about things that are going right. And what a
great day for David Krejci, too. I mean,
they're
celebrating. You know, he had a good game. It's 1,000 games in the NHL. And then he just decides to drop this.
I like the mentality of this team to stay in the moment, take it game by game. Practice has been good. Obviously, the coaching changed help a lot.
Coaching changed helped a lot.
Because it's the new system they're playing in.
Yeah, that's
generating so much offense,
the
right?
The system's very, very
that's
different.
That's what it is.
It has nothing
that's all
to
he
do.
Means.
There was a little
it's not
more.
Not like Krejci fled the country.
No.
Because he didn't want to play for
certainly
Cassidy
not.
Anymore.
Why would he do that? Why would he leave, go to the Czech Republic, tell all his everybody, well, you know, I really want my kids to grow up there, and I want them to learn how to speak the language.
Spent 1 year.
All that stuff, and then all of a sudden they fire the coach,
it's
and none of that matters
you can
anymore.
In 1 year, Megan.
It's true. Must have used the Rosetta Stone or something with those kids there. Anyway, David Krejci now really, I mean, lighting up Bruce Cassidy. That, for him, is sort of soft-spoken and kind of, you know, not confrontative. David Krejci. Has David Krejci ever been in a fight? Has he ever been in an NHL fight? I don't think so.
Oh, man.
He
got
ever?
Smoked. I remember one time, I want to say, I think it was Benoit Pouliot just rearranged David Krejci's face. It was not close. This is probably about 10, 11 years ago, too, when...
when you get a big brawler like Benny Pouliot.
That's what I'm saying. Benoit Pouliot was also, you know, no tough potatoes either, and he wiped the ice with David Krejci, so yeah, don't want to see him fighting.
Right. There was also this. David Krejci, via Google Translate on a Czech article, Coach Cassidy rarely let the two of us play together. Talking about Pastrnak, I believe. Years later, I leave Boston, and suddenly it's possible. That stunned me. Now Pasta is five or so games in line with Hall and Eric Halla. Strange, isn't it? That comment reflecting bitterness towards Cassidy, the one asked last summer about how much the coaching change impacted his decision to return, he downplayed the matter. So he's basically come all the way around on this. At the beginning of the year, oh, no, the coach had nothing to do with it. Now the coaching change was everything. We're so much better now. We're playing better. We're scoring more goals. He's mixing and matching the lines better. He's listening to us. He's not just doing it his way. He's sort of listening to us, these veterans on the team. And I'll tell you what, that the David Krejci thing in that locker room is real. You ask anybody who covers that team, they'll tell you they worship him in there. They really do. He is, and it's been like this for a while. They've got leaders on that team. They've got old guys on that team. It's not like he's the only leader or the only old guy, but they love him and they play for him. I mean, listen, the proof's in the pudding, isn't it?
So what's so interesting to me, the further we get away from this, and every time that one of these guys mentions something about the coaching and how positive the coaching difference is how off the narrative was last year around this time, or, you know, around the time of Cassidy's departure, even later after they got eliminated from the playoffs. You know, so much of it revolved around Jake DeBrusk and the young guys on the team and Cassidy's message, the way he delivers it. It's getting lost in translation to the younger guys. And it was kind of like, oh, what is this? It's like the NBA-ification of the locker rooms. And I remember people actually talking this way and saying, you know, and you have such strong leadership on this team from guys who are in their mid to entering late 30s. And now as we get further away, you hear it wasn't just DeBrusk. It wasn't just the young guys who felt like Cassidy didn't always have the best, judgment, if not interests of the players. I'm sure Cassidy felt like he had the best interests of the players, but he wasn't delivering the message in the right way and lost the locker room. And so now, you know, you hear these comments now and you hear it from guys who are true locker room leaders. And you're like, did they move too late on Cassidy? I mean, the fact that Krejci left the country, if he felt like this in real time, and it's not just revisionist history, him looking back and seeing how good things are now, how happy everyone is now, and so looking back and going, wow, that was really bad. If in the moment, everything was so bad, and like, how are you not acting in the moment and listening to your players and listening to older guys in the locker room who are telling you, like, this guy does not work for us?
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird to think about that, especially consider. I mean, David Krejci and Jake DeBrusk, two of your best players this year. And those are two guys that were basically like, listen, it's him or me. And in Krejci's case, he said, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And in DeBrusk's place, he said, just trade me. Just get me out of here. Trade me anywhere. I'll go anywhere. I can't play for this guy anymore.
You have Patrice Bergeron maybe not returning.
Right.
And he's never said anything about that it had anything to do with the coaching change. But he's also never said that it didn't.
Right.
So Krejci
said that it didn't. This was Krejci in his introductory press conference. Let's play these back to back. Let's see what it sounds like.
This is good.
Curious if the coaching change played any role, any factor in you deciding to come back. Did that make any difference to you at all?
That would be a good story if I would say yes. My decision was made before they hired the new coach. So the firing Bucci had nothing to do with my decision coming back.
Bucci.
Practice has been good. Obviously, the coaching changed helped a lot.
Yeah, it helped a lot.
Bucci had nothing to do with my decision coming back.
The coaching changed helped a lot.
Bucci had nothing to do with my decision coming back.
The coaching changed helped a lot.
It's been 5 months. 5 months. And who knows, maybe Krejci meant it at the time he said it.
Yeah.
And then he, like Jake DeBrusk and like a lot of the other guys who have been here long term, are going, oh, wow, it is so much more positive around here. We're getting to play the style we want to play. I don't have to worry about my head coach jumping up in front of media and browbeating us, saying he expects better out of us every single night that we don't perform.
So that's the other thing that I think is really funny, just reflecting on the narratives with Cassidy in real time. Everybody in this town loved how Cassidy roasted his players in front of the media.
Yes.
I swear, every time that he did it,
held them accountable.
I turn on a radio, oh, this would never happen in the NBA. Like, oh, look how well that went over. Can we revisit that now, that perhaps that's not the best tactic to take with professional athletes?
Sure.
To get up there and be like, well, he doesn't, you know, Jake DeBrusk didn't play because, essentially saying, like, he doesn't play because he doesn't care. I know I'm paraphrasing here, but it's pretty much the kind of crap that he said when he went up in front of the media.
Yeah.
And after a while, I would think that probably wears on your guys.
Maybe it does. I mean, they played well for him at first. And when Cassidy first got here and took over for Julian, a lot of people thought, well, this isn't going to work. How could you get rid of Claude Julian? How could you possibly do that and just bring in some guy from Providence? And I think that the Cassidy experience was pretty good so far. And look, it's good in Vegas so far. They're the best team in the West still, right? Or maybe Dallas is better than them now. But either way, they're right there. So I sort of feel like, you know, you can win with Cassidy. That thing can work. But eventually, yeah, it starts to wear on players to the point where you saw what almost happened here. And now that he's gone, I mean, my God, the team's 34-5-4. 34-5-5. It's ridiculous. That is a ridiculous record. And everything that happened in the offseason, from the firing, the Krejci coming back, and every move that Sweeney made worked perfectly. I mean, what else can you say? Like, these results speak for themselves.
Except when they brought in that one kid.
Except for that one small thing.
Mitch Miller song.
Except for bringing in the racist bully. Other than that,
everything's going really, really well right now, guys. How can we screw this up and get a lot of bad press? Well, there is this one knob that nobody wants any part of. Bring him in.
Yeah,
perfect.
Let's get him in here right now. Let's sign him to a futures contract. You know what? I honestly forgot about him for a second there, but you're right.
Yeah, I could
that
tell.
That was a big, big whiff, and obviously they shouldn't have done that. But in terms of everything that's happened on the ice with this team at the NHL level, I mean, it's been the polar opposite of what most people thought coming into the year. And that's whether you thought Montgomery was a bad coach or a good coach or not.
Well, I don't think it is. Like, I don't think it's separate because, and I know it's not apples
to
apples.
No one thought that a new coach was going to turn this team into this.
No.
I said they were going to be the worst team in their division.
Yeah.
When you look at the Celtics, you know, they've similarly had a coach who was a hard ass. And who called them out in their media, in his media appearances, especially the first half of the year. But even in the playoffs was, you know, you had the report that he was asking them if they wanted to play like a-holes.
Right.
Like in the middle of the game.
No, he also took them further than they've ever been. So, I mean,
right.
You know, you can't say that about Cassidy.
Better this year.
Yeah.
They are even better this year. But you don't hear, and by the way, he is persona non grata in that organization right now. Like, you can't even say his name, but his players are not like, wow, it's so much better since Udoka's not here.
True.
You know?
No. In fact, Marcus Smart was saying, I think Ime's getting railroaded. Remember that? I mean, they all still, I think, carried kind of a torch for Ime.
Again, I think that just goes to show you how much these guys hated Butchie.
Yeah.
Oh, my Butchie.
Yeah, poor Butchie. And it also shows that coaching does matter. I know that in some cases, maybe you think it doesn't. Ah, any team can run that offense. Any coach can coach Shaq and Kobe. You know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of time. Any coach could have coached the big three and, you know, gotten a couple of championships out of Michael Jordan. And all that may be true, but
is definitely not true.
Not any coach, I don't think. But, like, when it comes to a situation like this one, there's not a lot different.
Who would
here.
Have had the balls to install the triangle with Michael Jordan?
I don't know. Jordan may have installed his own offense, maybe. But I think that, you know, you look at the main difference here being the coach is different and David Krejci's back. Krejci was on this team years and years with Cassidy, and it just wasn't the same. It wasn't working. And now with a new coach who's sort of listening more to these guys and deferring to them, which is what I think is happening here with Montgomery. I think he's deferring more than Cassidy ever would, and that's why those guys got sick of him. The results are what they are, and it's kind of frustrating now looking back at it, thinking, man, you know, you could have maybe had some years more like this than those last few Cassidy years. And I know that they were in the Cup final in 2019, but boy, you know, I mean, if you don't see similarities here between what's happening with this team with a new coach and how someone like Mac Jones and the Patriots offense with their new coaches reacted negatively, then you're blind. I mean, I think there's a direct line you can draw them from one to the other, because it's the opposite, obviously. But look at a roster like this Bruins roster and all the problems that you usually consider with the Bruins at this time of year. There's no secondary scoring. The goaltending's fine. Whatever, and now you see them just a juggernaut running everyone over. And last year you had a Patriots offense that with a good offensive coordinator was functional and took you to a postseason, and without it was one of the laughing stocks of the league offensively. And that's really what I think the Patriots were this year. Offensively, they were a laughing stock in the NFL. And that tells you that you can have the same players, you can try and run the same offense. If you don't have the right coaches doing it, it can be a major impediment.
Well, absolutely. And I think any sports fan that you ask on the street would tell you that coaching in the NFL is a pretty different beast across the board from your assistants up to your head coach.
Sure.
Than any of the other leagues. Not to say that it doesn't matter in the other leagues, because I'm not of that school, but it's a different beast. I would say I feel like the lesson that I would take away from this, and you can say whatever you want to say about this generation of athletes or the generation right above them or below them or whatever, they do not like having their crap called out in public. Behind closed doors is one thing. They do not like their coaches getting up there and saying, I don't know if, you know, as essentially saying, I don't know if he's our starting quarterback. You know, I don't know. We'll see. Everybody is a this or that. Like, well, everybody isn't the same.
Mac one has the ability to play in the NFL.
Yeah. Thanks, I don't think that goes over great behind closed doors. And it's the same to me. It's the same thing across the board. And it's so funny to me that out of all these guys that we're talking about, and I know I'm going a little off track here, it's the NBA team in town who is not sitting there essentially in one direction or the other, MFing their guys.
It's true.
Coaching changed up a lot.
Yeah, you're not hearing much.
But look, like, and you can say that you want that. Oh, these athletes today, they're so soft. They got to take the coaching as the chain of command. Well, if the coaches aren't qualified and they're trying to call you out on something,
does Patrice Bergeron fall into the category of players these days? Like, there was a part of me, and look, I was one of those people. I raised both hands when you're like, oh, people loved when Bruce Cassidy was calling out his guys. Yeah, I was one of them. But I can also understand if you're Patrice Bergeron, if you're Brad Marchand, like, I'm a future Hall of Famer. And look, I understand we have a lapse, whatever, but the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time on national TV we're in the playoffs and you're going to call us out, you're going to make us look bad, that I can absolutely understand how it wears its track. Mac Jones, different situation. I'm not going to say, oh, he's not earned the right to do anything because he's in his second year, but you have to understand the caliber of player that you're dealing with in a guy like Patrice Bergeron and a guy like Brad Marchand and a guy like David Krejci.
David Krejci is 37 years old. Like,
that's,
I mean,
what
you know,
I mean,
like, he's,
I mean,
not,
he's,
yeah,
a grown man,
right?
You children.
They showed,
like, he has a family
because he played in his 1,000th game, and they showed him, mm-hmm, when he got drafted. I think he had frosted highlights. I'm like, oh, remember
frosted tips?
The early 2000s when every guy looked like that? That was just the style, you know, a little frost. I bet if I looked right now, I could find a picture of Andrew Raycroft that has highlights in his hair.
Oh man, I hope so. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Razor will join us right after this. Sports Radio WEEI, Christian Arkin, Megan Ottolini, and joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, bringing people together around the joys of food, John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Frank's Red Hot. Visit franksredhot.com for great hockey and football watching recipes. Let's Frank it up. It's Razor, Andrew Raycroft, joining us right now again on the Harbor One Hotline. Razor, how you doing, my friend?
I'm wonderful. How's everyone making out?
Making out just fine, just like the Bruins are making out just fine with another big, big win. And the only thing bigger than that, I'd say, would be the comments that we heard from David Krejci about the coaching change. What'd you think when you first heard that, Razor? It opened a lot of eyes.
It did. I kind of chuckled, and I'm not sure. Again, I'm not. David's been here a long time, but I'm also not sure if he was doing that on purpose or if it was something that he kind of forgot that he didn't mention, but he wanted to mention it, but didn't want to make it a big deal, but wanted to make sure it was mentioned. I can't imagine David Krejci being the one that wanted to come out publicly to stir a big controversy, but he is also a guy who likes to be pretty honest in his feelings and where he's at, and I felt like he wanted to get that out because he won't talk to the media the rest of the year. So get that out and let everyone know he wasn't quite happy or I should say happy with the decision that's been made and happy where the coach's staff is at right now.
So I saw it on Saturday night on a broadcast that Elliot Friedman said that there's word around the league that the Bruins have been making some progress with Pastrnak concerning his contract. Is this going to get done anytime soon? When we hear these phrases like making some progress, does that give you any indication that there's going to be an immediate announcement?
No, not immediate. I think, and Elliot's as piped in as anyone in the league. So Elliot talks to the right people, and when he says that, he means that they are discussing. I thought Don's answer the other day when asked about it, I believe when he was talking about the Pavel Zacha signing, was a straight no. And that should be positive for everybody who wants David Pastrnak to be a Boston Bruin, because there was no color to it. There was no discussing it. It was just a no, which means they're talking. He doesn't want to spill the beans on anything, doesn't want to say anything that could jeopardize whatever progress they've made. But to say that I expect something to come down the pipe in the next couple of days would probably be a little bit over my skis.
Do you like the Zaka signing?
Love it. Love it. I think what he's done in this short time as a Boston Bruin, half a season, to be able to play all three forward positions when he was and has been called on to do play center, he's done it very effectively. He's figured things out, and we saw that goal Monday afternoon. He's a world-class talent. I think he can score more goals. He's missed a lot of nets. I'm not sure if that's just the way it's gone for him or if that's a pattern, but that's one thing to watch for. But he's had a ton of chances, and he's career high in assists now already this season. So I really like the signing. It's for short money, and he's going to be a big piece of this going forward the next couple of years.
We're talking with Andrew Raycroft here on the Harbor One Hotline. Razor, Sweeney talked about the trade deadline a little bit and sort of indicated that he's happy with what's in Providence. And I think there's just sort of a general sense of why mess with anything on the NHL club at this point. Do you sort of agree with that, or do you think they can make some subtle tweaks?
No, they're going to make subtle tweaks. It's going to be an arms race in the East. Carolina is going to try and get better. Tampa Bay is going to try and get better. Toronto Maple Leafs have to try and get better. There's no way their market doesn't allow them. And the Bruins are going to have to keep their finger on that pulse. But I'm a big, at this point, and where this team's at and where the team's set up in the future. I know there's been talk about this group and how, you know, once Bergeron's gone, what are they going to do? But I'm not concerned about that. I think the Zaka signing, Taylor Hall, Hampus Lindholm, Charlie McAvoy, these guys are here for, you know, quite a bit of time in going ahead in the future. I'm trading every first-round pick. I'm trading every prospect that I have to get better at the NHL level this season with this group that's playing for the Boston Bruins. Now, I don't have the answers on the mix. I don't have the answers on getting rid of a player that's on the roster right now. That would be nerve-wracking, and that's what Don's not losing or is losing sleep over the next couple months. But when it comes to prospects and first-round picks, those are all on the table if I'm getting an NHL player that can help win a Stanley Cup.
So what kind of player would be on your wish list then to when you're looking at the depth that this team's going to need making a Stanley Cup playoff run? Is it another defenseman, another winger? What is kind of the list of priorities there?
You can never have enough D. If you're planning on playing upwards of 28 Stanley Cup playoff games, you need more D than the 6/7. They've been very fortunate on the back end to have no injuries and have had the 6 playing as well as they have the last 2 months. But you need more there. So big, strong defenseman. You can grab a couple of those guys that have played in the playoffs before. And then you need depth up front as well. I think we've seen that they can handle one injury with this Jake DeBrusk injury, but if someone else goes down, then it gets dicey. So I'm looking for depth pieces. I don't think you need a swing and a home run, but at the same time, the salary cap goes down. You might be able to add a good rental at this. I know they're not rental organization, but this might be the year that they look that way for a veteran guy. But you certainly need some more versatility, I would say, up front. A guy who can take some face-offs, a guy who can play both wings, one wing, to add to depth up front when inevitable injuries come.
Razor, first shutout of the year for Swayman last night. He's 10-3-3, I believe. 29-shot shutout for him. This has been kind of a weird year for him, obviously, with the injury and with Ullmark playing so well. How do you think he's handling it all?
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. It didn't start the way he wanted it to, but he is showing his ability to be a pro and work at his game on a daily basis and stay within, not looking too far ahead, not worried about his starts, not worried about playing behind arguably the best goalie in the league so far this season, and he's just kind of stuck with his game. And so it's been impressive. It's easy for a young guy who's really trying to establish himself in the league to lose confidence and start to worry about the outside and his contract and will he be the guy here. But he hasn't let that get to him. So I've been impressed with his mental capabilities here, and his game's in a good spot. Like you said, his record's really good. Everybody's record's really good for the Bruins, but he's gotten points in his last 10 of 11 games. So it's a good duo. And again, just like the forwards, you're probably, if you're going to play 28 playoff games, you're going to probably need both of these guys in net. So it's important for Jeremy to play well for the team and for himself, and he's done that and bounced back really well.
All right, before we let you go here, Razor, just one more on Montgomery. The coaching change, which people have talked about now and Krejci talked about yesterday, is it what Montgomery's doing or the fact that he's not Cassidy? What weighs more, I guess? Because it seems like not being Cassidy is a really big check in the a really big feather in his cap. You know what I mean?
It is. And again, that's because Bruce Cassidy was here for 6 years. And so the all-star coaches, just real quick, all-star coaches are Bruce Cassidy, Pete DeBoer, Rod Brind'Amour, and Jim Montgomery. Jim Montgomery last coached in Dallas, where Pete DeBoer now coaches. Pete DeBoer last coached in Las Vegas, where Bruce Cassidy is.
Right.
And Bruce Cassidy last coached in Boston, where Jim Montgomery is. So if you have a good team, good organization, that the voice goes away from the coach and you need something new. So there is a big check for sure that it's not Bruce Cassidy. I think what Jim Montgomery brings is offensively, he thinks much different than Bruce Cassidy. And I think he's been able to get the best out of his players with that, especially the defensemen. The weak side D is getting so many more opportunities offensively. And a lot of that is coaching, allowing them to take more opportunities, to take more chances. So there is a big check that he's not Bruce Cassidy, but I also think Jim Montgomery's pressing the right buttons and communicating very well with all the players.
All right, then we'll leave it right there. Andrew Raycroft, great stuff as always. Thanks so much.
You got it, gang. Thank you. Have a good night.
That's the Razor. Nesson joining us here on Arcan and Mego. 617-779-7937. There is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll keep with the winter teams, who are incredibly difficult to critique right now. Bruins, Celtics, hard to really say too much negative about them, or really anything other than how great they are. Celtics with another win over the Hornets. We'll get to them and Jason Tatum's big night right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.